Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Luke chapter 1, we're going to pick up reading in verse 26 through verse 37. We're continuing our series for the season of Pentecost titled Welcome Holy Spirit, and today's message is work through us. You know, we have a tendency to overlook the familiar in our life, right? You know, if you see something there all the time, you just kind of take it for granted it's going to be there. You walk around it, you ignore it. We take for granted the familiar. And we do the same with Scripture. We read over familiar passages often without stopping to see the unexpected truth that exists beneath the commonplace surface details. And so often we miss the message that God is speaking to us. And one such passage, I believe, is Luke 1, verses 26 through 38, a passage of Scripture that we often associate with the Christmas story. And because of its association with the Christmas story, we usually only read, preach, and see it from one perspective, its relationship to the Christmas story. And it is indeed a part of the Christmas story, but it has a much deeper truth for our life, especially concerning the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. This passage of Scripture is the story of the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary that she would supernaturally be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and conceive a son, and his name would be called Jesus. And it's so familiar to us that we cannot see beyond the Christmas story to hear what God is speaking to us about why the baptism in the Holy Spirit is essential for every believer. Yes, this story speaks to us about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Read with me, if you will, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail," or other versions more accurately say, "For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Now, I want you to notice that Mary wasn't looking for an angel to come to her door that day, and her mind was not even focused on those things. She was probably, you know, caught up in her own thoughts and dreams, planning her wedding because she was engaged to be married, and she was thinking about her wedding, perhaps, and planning all of the details and thinking about her life together with her beloved Joseph. And then she was suddenly interrupted by an angel with an announcement that was about to completely turn her life upside down and disturb all of her plans. That announcement included the fact that she would be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and that she would supernaturally conceive a child. And that child would be the Son of the Most High God, the Messiah, God's promised Savior King. He would be called Jesus, the Savior of the world. God's plan of salvation was about to be conceived in Mary and produced through her in the birth of her son, who was to be named Jesus. Now, we think to ourselves as we hear this story, man, that must have been so exciting. What a wonderful announcement it must have been. Mary was probably just amazed and excited. But quite honestly, for Mary, it left her a little bit bewildered. She was just a young girl, a teenager. Many Bible scholars believe she was probably around 14 years old. Young people, God can use you for great things. There is no age limit for the kingdom of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so here she is, just a teenager. She had never been with a man. She was a virgin. So what the angel was saying to her just sounded impossible, impossible. And finally, you know, with all of this going on inside of her, she gives voice to this flood of thoughts in her soul in a single question. But how can this be? I'm a virgin. How can this happen? And the angel responds, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And there's a clear parallel between the words the angel Gabriel spoke to her and the words that Jesus used in speaking about the promise of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In Luke 24:49, Jesus said to the disciples, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Other versions say, until you are clothed with power from on high. So very similar words to what was used in the announcement to Mary. And again, in Acts 1:8, we read, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The angel Gabriel said the Holy Spirit was going to come upon Mary. And here Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So what I want you to see is that there's a parallel between Mary's experience and the believer's experience of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. The scripture is clear that the Christian life cannot be lived by our natural human strength, by our own willpower, because all the flesh can produce in itself is what Paul lists in Galatians 5:19-20. He calls them the works of the flesh, and he describes things like lust, fornication, witchcraft, idolatry, wrath, anger, strife, division, drunkenness. He's talking to Christians, and he says, try as hard as you want to serve God in your flesh, in your own strength, and this is all you can produce. Wrath, strife, envy, division, lust, idolatry, witchcraft. This is all you can produce. And they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What he's telling us is that in our own strength and our own ability, we cannot live the Christian life. And as we consider the life that God is calling us to live, a life free from sin, a life dedicated to the purpose of God, a life of holiness, a life of righteousness in our natural, we have to cry out like Mary and say, how can this be? How can this happen? How can I live this life? When you really think of the way God is calling us to live in the natural, it seems impossible. We say, how can I do this? And perhaps some of you right now are struggling with things and you don't feel like it's possible that you can overcome those things. And sometimes you might look at the Christian life and say, there's no way to be able to live that way. You don't know what I struggle with. You don't know how hard it is. And maybe 1,000 other objections come to your mind. But God's answer to us is the same as Gabriel's answer to Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and empower you to do what in the natural is not possible. Hallelujah. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it is the supernatural empowerment of God to live our lives the way God is calling us to live and to do what God is calling us to do. And we cannot do that in our own selves. So as we look at the story of Mary today, we see several parallels between her experience of the Holy Spirit coming upon her and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I pray that every one of us would be convicted of our own need for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, because we won't seek to be empowered if we don't sense that we need it. Amen? Some people think the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a nice extra, an optional extra. It's there if you want it. But no, it is an absolute necessity for our life, and we need to realize that so that we will seek to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and that every single day we will walk in the fullness of that experience. So what we want to do is look at Mary and see the parallels between her experience of the Spirit and why we need the Spirit, and we need to pray ultimately as she did. After the angel Gabriel told her, the Spirit of God is going to come upon you and you're going to conceive a son, and he's going to be the Son of the Most High, and he's going to be the Savior of the world. What did Mary say? She said, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. What she was saying is, I surrender to you. Do what you want to do in me. I give myself to you. Amen? And the key to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and walking daily in the fullness of the Spirit is living a life of surrender that says, here I am, Lord. I yield myself to you. Do in me what only you can do. And we're going to look at that today. The first thing I want us to look at is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not to speak in tongues, even though that is such an incredible and wonderful blessing to have this personal, Spirit-empowered prayer and worship language that just takes your prayer and your worship to a whole other level. It's so wonderful. I don't know why anybody who wouldn't want it. Amen? Praise the Lord. But that's not the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the sign that we've experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it's not the purpose. So we want to look at the purpose of the baptism. God's purpose in sending the Holy Spirit on Mary was threefold. It was to conceive divine life in her. He said, you will conceive. It was to produce supernatural life through her. You will give birth to a son. It was to fulfill God's eternal plan of salvation or redemption for mankind. He said, you will name him Jesus, which means Savior. She was going to be a vehicle for bringing the Savior into the world. Amen. God's purpose in sending the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the promise of the Spirit upon us is also threefold, and it parallels the threefold purpose in Mary's life. First of all, the Spirit's purpose in us is to conceive divine life in us. The Spirit produces the life of Christ in us. He said, you will be my witnesses. Not you go out and do witnessing, but you will be. We're going to be the reflection of Christ to the world. Our life is going to bring Christ to the world. It's going to be what Paul said in Galatians 2. He said, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit comes and he transforms us and he perfects in us the image of Christ. He conceives the life of Christ in us so that the life of Christ is reproduced. Pregnancy is about reproduction, right? They call it reproductive rights because it's about reproduction. Amen. And we don't believe in the reproductive rights this world believes in, because we believe that every life, even in the womb, is valuable unto God, and that we are not supposed to commit murder. Thou shalt not kill. And from the time that that baby is in the womb, I mean, God spoke to Jeremiah in his mother's womb and called him to the ministry. That's a human being. With a soul, amen? But that's another sermon for another day. Praise the Lord. But we don't believe in abortion. If you have had one, we extend grace and love towards you. There is forgiveness in Christ for anything that we have done in our past, amen? But we need to know what the Bible speaks about these issues. So that's an extra sermon, no extra charge for that. But the same way that through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, there was going to be life that was going to be reproduced through Mary. She was going to bear a son. Amen. The Holy Spirit reproduces the life of Christ in us. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul declares that we are being changed into the image of Christ from glory to glory, from one level of reflecting him to another of reflecting him. And how is this change taking place? He says, by the Spirit of the Lord. More and more, Christ is being shaped in us. Christ is being formed in us. Christ is being reproduced in us so that we can show his glory to the world, so that they can see him in us. And that all takes place by the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because when we enter into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's a degree of surrender there that accelerates the process of transformation that is in the Bible calls it sanctification. Separation from sin in the world and dedication unto God. That's what sanctification is. And when we surrender to the point of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it accelerates that process of transformation. And it's symbolized by the fact that he speaks through our tongue in languages we have never learned, to pray and glorify his name. You know why that symbolizes the acceleration of the sanctification or transformation process? Because James 3 tells us that the tongue is the unruliest member of our body. Go ahead, Pastor. Who can tame it? But when we surrender to the point of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden that tongue gets tamed. How? By the Holy Spirit. God begins to use that tongue to speak through us to glorify and honor his name. So he gets control of the unruliest member of our tongue. And it symbolizes now the control over our entire life as we walk in surrender to him every single day. Amen? So the reproduction of the life of Christ in us. The second purpose of the Spirit's work in our life is to produce supernatural life through us. So first of all, producing the life of Christ in us, but then producing supernatural life through us. He says, you shall be my witnesses, emphasis on the word witnesses here. His command to us is that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all people. And the Spirit empowers us now to reproduce. So first, the Spirit is reproducing Christ in us, but then the Spirit empowers us to reproduce by leading others to Christ so that they can be born again by repenting and placing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So producing life in us and then producing life through us. And thirdly, the Spirit's purpose is to fulfill God's plan through our lives to impact the world, to bring about his saving purpose in the world. Mary became the vehicle through which God brought the Savior of the world into being to fulfill his plan of salvation. We now become the vehicle of God by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring the message of salvation, to bring the Savior of the world to the world so that God's plan of salvation can be fulfilled in the lives of those who hear. Amen? Yes. So just as God had a plan for Mary, God has a plan for each of us to be a part of his eternal purpose of bringing salvation to mankind. God wants to use each and every one of us to make a difference for him in this world for his glory. Amen? But we can't do it in our own strength. Oh, we can try. But I want you to picture this. If you are trying to build a building and you get out there with a shovel to excavate to lay the foundation of that building, you can get some done with a shovel, but it's going to be some hard work. It's going to take you forever, and you're probably going to end up giving up. But if you got out there with one of those big, you know, machines there, those backhoes, and you begin moving the dirt with that, right? Man, in a matter of no time, you're going to see that ground prepared, that foundation laid. When we try to do the work of God in our own strength, it's like using that shovel. We might make a little dent, but we're not going to get very much done. Amen? But when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's like using that backhoe. Amen? And it's going to be so powerful, and it's going to make a difference. That's why we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah. And you see, so often we hear God calls us to do great things for him, but we think to ourselves, I can't do that. I'm not able. I'm not sufficient. I don't have the ability. I'm too insignificant. We may think it's impossible that we could ever even live the Christian life in victory, that we could ever be useful to God in ministry, that we could ever lead anyone to Christ, or that we could ever make a difference in the world for him. And that's the reason that we need the power of the Holy Spirit. One little 13 or 14-year-old girl named Mary made a difference that changed the world by yielding herself to the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we will yield ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit, God can use us to make a difference in the world as well. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Pastor. Mary said, how can I do this? How can this happen? And the angel Gabriel said, for with God, nothing is impossible. We stand here and say, how can I make a difference? How can I change the world? And God says to us, for there is nothing impossible with me. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Now that we understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit, we need to understand the power of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Mary is told two unbelievable truths. She's told that she would become pregnant by the power of the Spirit, and she's told that her senior citizen, elderly cousin Elizabeth, who had been barren all her life, was now 6 months pregnant. Both of these statements in the natural were impossible. It was impossible for a virgin to be pregnant, and it was impossible for an old lady past menopause who had already been barren her whole life, to have a baby. Both those things were impossible. But the Holy Spirit makes possible what is impossible with man. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. When we hear the life of holiness that God is calling us to live, our soul may cry out like Mary, how can this be? Because we know our struggles with the flesh. We know our struggles with our temper. We know our struggles with our tongue. We know our struggles with our pride or whatever it may be. We know our human limitations. But God's answer to us is the same as it was to Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and empower you. For with God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. And when we hear the consecration that we are called to in fulfilling the purpose of God to reach the lost with our lives, we say, how can this be? But God's answer to us is the same as it was to Mary. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and empower you, for with God, nothing is impossible. When we sense God calling us to minister, to teach, to evangelize, to witness, to reach young people, to start a Bible study at our work or a prayer group in our neighborhood or our workplace or whatever it might be, we say, I can't do this. How can this be? But God's answer to you is the same as it was with Mary. The Spirit of the Lord God will come upon you and empower you, for nothing is impossible with God. Hallelujah. You say, I'm not able. I can't witness. I can't teach. I can't talk in front of people. I don't know enough. And we look at all of our limitations. But God's answer to you is the same as it was to Mary. The Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you and empower you. For with God, nothing is impossible. If it wasn't for the Spirit of God, I wouldn't be up here today. I remember when God called me to the ministry. He called me to the ministry when I was 11. At 11, I was already in high school. I had been put ahead, and I already had my map planned out. I was going to be a doctor. I was extremely shy. I had grown up with a lot of insecurity, low self-esteem, and brokenness because my family was not saved. My father was very verbally abusive towards me, not towards my sister. She was his favorite, but towards me, and constantly told me, you're stupid, you're clumsy, you can't do anything right, and that got programmed into me. And it made me very shy and have a low self-esteem. And when God called me to the ministry, initially, you know, I said, yes, when I'm getting ready now at 14 years old, filling in my college applications, and I'm to specify a major, the Holy Spirit's dealing with me and say, remember, you're called to the ministry. And I said, yeah, but I can't talk in front of people. See, I was the kind of person who would like to come into a room and sit towards the back and kind of hide and leave before anybody had a chance to talk to me. That's who I used to be. That's who I used to be before the power of the Holy Spirit came upon me. Amen. And I remember wrestling with God in prayer and God saying, I've called you to preach the gospel. And me saying, Lord, I can't get up in front of people and talk. No, I'm too shy for that. I can't do that, Lord. But, Lord, I'll be a doctor. And I'll donate a couple of days a week or whatever. And I'll go help poor and needy people. And I'll tell them about you, Jesus, one-on-one. But don't make me stand up in front of people and talk. I can't do that, Jesus. And never enter into a wrestling match with God. Because I have news for you. You're going to lose. You can't win that one, amen? So, you know, I finally gave in to the Lord and said, like Mary, here I am, Lord, do with me what you want to do. And let me tell you something, it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that I am able to be up here today, that I'm able to preach the gospel and do what God has called me to do, because in myself I could not do this. But the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon me and empowered me, for with God nothing is impossible. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. Amen. Hallelujah. In John 14:12, Jesus said, verily, verily, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Woo! Jesus is telling us that we are going to do greater works. Greater work. Not so much in magnitude, because he did stuff like raise the dead back to life. I mean, how much greater can you get than that? So it's not so much in the quality of the works, but in the quantity. You know why? Because when Jesus was here, he was one person anointed by the Holy Spirit. But after Pentecost, that's why he said, because I'm going to the Father. Because when he went to the Father, he was going to send the Spirit. And when the Spirit was poured out upon the church, it wouldn't be one person empowered by the Spirit doing these works, but it would be all of us empowered by the Spirit. So the greater works are the quantity, amen?
Yes.
But what it tells us is that the same way Jesus healed, healing should be flowing from us, because the same Spirit that anointed Jesus is the same Spirit that empowers us. The same way that Jesus went forth and delivered the oppressed, deliverance should be flowing through us, because the same Spirit that anointed Jesus is the same Spirit that empowered us. Hallelujah. We ought to be doing the same works that Jesus did when he was here. So I challenge you, read through the Gospels, and every time you see Jesus doing those works, say, God, use me. I yield myself to you. Let your Holy Spirit come upon me and flow through me and use me like you use Jesus. Hallelujah. God wants us to do greater works. We say, how can I do greater works? Because the Spirit of the Lord God will come upon you and empower you. For with God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. Jesus said to us, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Jesus was sent with a mission to seek and to save the lost. He was anointed by the Spirit to preach the gospel, to give sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that were in bondage. And he says, in the same way he was sent to do these things, he is sending us. And we may ask, how can this be? But God's answer to us is the same as it was to Mary. The Spirit of the Lord God shall come upon you and empower you, for with God, nothing is impossible. Now, God knew how unbelievable this message would have sounded to Mary. I mean, it was beyond anything ever known in the history of mankind for a virgin to conceive and give birth to a son. Never happened before, never happened since. Now, in the Old Testament, God had enabled some barren women to have a child. Sarah was at 90 years old. She'd been barren. And God miraculously moved on her and she had a child, right? But it still involved a man. Amen? It involved her hubby, Abraham, all right? But never, ever in the history of mankind had a woman ever had a child without a man being involved somewhere in the process. Let me just tell you something, a little something, this extra sermon, no extra charge. God reveals his will and his plan in the divine design of his creation. He created man and woman to get married, to conceive, and to reproduce. That's God's plan. And it doesn't work without one man and one woman. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to understand that because of everything that's going on in our society today. God has a divine design. Praise the Lord. And it can't work if we don't do it by God's divine design. So never ever in the history of mankind had a woman ever had a child without a man being involved somewhere in the process. And it was totally outside of the frame of reference of anything Mary knew for a virgin to conceive. Can you imagine God calling you to do something that has never ever been done before and is humanly impossible? And because God understood how unbelievable this would sound for Mary, he gave her a sign. He said, yeah, and you know your cousin, the old lady, senior citizen that's on Social Security that's never had a child because she's barren? No, they didn't have Social Security back then. I'm just joking. He said, you know that old lady cousin of yours that's never had a child? Well, I want you to know she's now 6 months pregnant. What was that? God was giving her a sign. He was confirming to her that with God, nothing is impossible. So in verse 36, we read, what's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. For the word of God will never fail, or more accurately, as the King James translates, for with God, nothing is impossible. So Mary takes a trip to see this thing. She wants to see if the word of the Lord has been fulfilled. And she goes to see her cousin who is 6 months pregnant. So God gave Mary an immediate and physical sign to provide the assurance of faith that she needed to know that with God, nothing is impossible. And you know what? God also gives us an immediate physical sign of the promise of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. What is that sign? When we get baptized in the Holy Ghost, we will speak with other tongues. Hallelujah. We will speak with other tongues. Now, don't get me wrong. You can have many experiences in the Holy Spirit before you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to illustrate it this way. And I've used this illustration before, but it is so powerful that and so clear that it helps us to understand. If you stick your hand in water that's been on the stove and it's 180 degrees temperature, you're going to get burned. You're going to have an experience, right? If you stick your hand in water that's 200 degrees, you're going to have a stronger experience. You may scream, you may shout, you may fall down on the ground. You're going to have a stronger experience. But it is not until water gets to, what is it, 212 degrees Fahrenheit? I think that's boiling point. It's not until water gets to boiling point that there is a physical sign. You don't need a thermometer. There is a physical sign that tells you it has reached boiling point. What is that physical sign? Produces bubbles. I don't care if you're in Russia, if you're in China, if you're in Mexico, if you're in Canada, if you're in the United States, you know water reaches boiling point when you see bubbles. There's a physical sign, right? And once water reaches boiling point, guess what? It produces power in something called steam. There are steam engines, right? The power is provided by the steam. There's hydroelectric power that is provided by the water that is heated in the core of the earth, and it produces steam, and it makes electricity. Power. And it also sanitizes, right? Yeah. When they sanitize something with steam, it kills all the germs. Those are the two purposes of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life. Power to do the work of the Lord, and it sanitizes. The spiritual word is sanctifies. It cleanses us, it changes us, it separates us from the world and sin, makes us more like Jesus. All of that is produced by the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And the sign that we have reached that place in the Spirit, just like water at boiling point shows bubbles, there is a physical sign that we have reached that point, that boiling point in the Spirit called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That physical sign is that we will speak in other tongues. All right? It's a beautiful gift. Yes. It is a prayer language and a worship language, yes, that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that reaches to the very core of God's heart. It's not something that we can do. It's not humanly possible. It's not possible for us to speak a language we've never spoken before, that we've never learned before. I'll tell you something, folks. You know, my mother was Cuban. We didn't speak Spanish in the home because my father was Lebanese. He spoke Arabic. I know some words in Arabic I shouldn't know. I have taken several classes in Spanish in high school and in college, but my Spanglish is a mess. And I'm an A student. I got A's in all those classes. But I still have a problem, and I studied to learn, but I still cannot speak Spanish fluently. I mean, I try, I get by, I can maybe communicate my message, but I still can't speak it fluently. But the moment I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, 11 years old, on the floor of a family friend's home, I started speaking in another language, and there was no fluency problem. It just continued to flow. For hours, my father, who was not really serving the Lord at the moment, he was there. He didn't know what was going on. He told the lady that was leading this prayer meeting, bring her out of it. He thought I was being hurt by it or something. Bring her out of this. And she goes, that's God. It's not going to hurt her. That's the night God called me to the ministry. Amen. But the point is, I never learned that language. It was something that was supernaturally taking place in and through me. And that's what makes it a God thing and not a man thing. Hallelujah. And that is what affirms our faith, that God is able to do the impossible. Because when he speaks through us in a language that we have never learned before, that is something that is miraculous. It's a God thing. And it is a sign that the miraculous power of God is flowing through us. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. It confirms to us the power and reality of God unlike anything else that we will ever experience. That's why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:5, he says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies or builds himself up. Every time we speak in tongues, it strengthens our faith. Every time we pray in tongues, it is an abiding reminder that with God, nothing is impossible. It is a continued assurance that the miracle-working power of Almighty God is flowing through us. All of that happens every time we speak in tongues. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. And it gives us faith to believe that all God has promised, all that God has called us to do, is possible because the Holy Spirit has come upon us. Yeah. Folks, that's why we need tongues. Just like Mary needed a sign to affirm the unbelievable things that God was calling her to do. Mary knew that it was humanly impossible for her to get pregnant because she was a virgin. And we know that it's impossible to speak a language we have never learned. And so our mind objects, questioning like Mary, how can this be? And sometimes we say, we hold ourselves back when we're seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We hold ourselves back because our mind is trying to rationalize, how can this be? And we say, I don't want to be speaking gibberish. I don't want to be talking nonsense. And all that's going on in our mind. And it's keeping us from surrendering to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Spirit to speak through us. But God is wanting to do through us something that is humanly impossible. Something that cannot be humanly understood or explained. He's wanting to do through us something that man cannot produce, but only God can produce. Something miraculous, something supernatural. And my constant prayer is, God, we don't want what men can do. We want what only you can do. Hallelujah. Man produces religion. Man produces ritual. Man produces ceremony. Folks, I grew up in that. I came out of it. I don't want it. Amen? God produces life. God produces salvation. Salvation. God produces healing. God produces deliverance. God produces transformation. God produces miracles. That's what I want. Hallelujah. It's what I want in my life. It's what I want in this church. Hallelujah. We've had enough of what men can do. We need what God can do. Now, we've seen the purpose and we've seen the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? Is this something you want in your life? I don't know about you, but it's what I want. I want it more and more. Amen. The third thing I want us to see is the posture that receives the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 38. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. What is a servant? A servant is someone who does the will of their master. So that speaks of surrender, right? Surrender. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. There's that yieldedness. Do what you want to do in me, God. I give you myself. So the posture that receives the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the posture of surrender. I am the Lord's servant. I surrender to you. I surrender to you. Here I am, Lord. Do with me whatever you desire to do. That's surrender. A servant is one who is dedicated to his master's purpose. Lord, here I am. I want you to use me however you choose to use me, God. Do through me what you desire to do. The posture that receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a posture of faith. Look at the second part of verse 38. May everything you have said about me come true. Mary believed the word that the Lord was speaking to her, and she was ready to receive its fulfillment. She was ready to receive the promise. We need to believe the word that God has spoken to us. We need to believe that the promise of the Holy Spirit is for us. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 2:38, after the crowd heard Peter preach, they asked, what must we do to be saved? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to your children's children, even as many as are afar off, who the Lord shall call. And that call is the call to salvation. What does that verse mean? Everybody that God calls to salvation, he also wants to fill with the Holy Spirit. This promise is unto you. We need to believe that this promise is for us. This promise is for us. If you don't believe it, you're not going to receive it. You're not going to seek for it. Amen? Got to believe that this promise is for you. Amen? If I stood up here today and I said to you, out there in the parking lot, there is a brand new Lexus for anybody who wants it. There's enough for every one of you. I don't have any, so don't come attacking me. But if you knew that I had them, what would you do? You would run to me to get the keys, right? Because you knew I was promising everyone. I'd be like Oprah, and I have one for you, and one for you, and one for you. And if you knew there was one for every single one of you, you would be attacking me right now to get the keys. You got to know that it's for you in order to receive it. You got to know the baptism of the Holy Spirit is promised to you and to you and to you and to you and to you. Everyone who has received Jesus Christ, this promise is unto you. God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. And just like the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and empowered her to conceive and give birth to Jesus and to be an important part of fulfilling God's plan of salvation in the world, God wants to baptize us with the Holy Spirit so that we can be supernaturally empowered to live the way Christ is calling us to live, so that we can lead others to the life of Christ, and so that we can fulfill our part in God's great plan of salvation. It may seem impossible, but we have a choice to make. Either we can deny it, reject it, question it, or run from it and hold on to our present life and reality. And then we'll miss out on all that God desires to do in us and through us. We'll miss out on one of the greatest blessings of God next to salvation. Or we can be like Mary. We can believe God's promise. We can believe that God is able to do the impossible in us and through us. And we can, by faith, receive that promise of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Say, here am I, Lord. Fulfill your word in me. Now you've heard the truth. You've heard God's message. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. How will you respond? And the first step to walking in the power of the Spirit is to be saved. You can't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost until you first receive Jesus as your Savior. And the reason we need Jesus to be our Savior is because we've all sinned. And sin separates us from God. It breaks our relationship with God. And that's the whole reason Jesus came from heaven to earth, and he offered his life as a sinless sacrifice in our place, so that when we repent of our sins, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, we make a U-turn. I don't want to live that way anymore. I recognize it's wrong. I ask you to forgive me, and I turn to you in faith. That's repentance. And the moment we repent and place our faith in Jesus as our Savior, we are forgiven, and we begin a wonderful, lifelong relationship with God. And then God wants to baptize us in the Holy Spirit, the power to live out that relationship, to live out that life and his purpose for us in supernatural power. But if you're here today, would you bow your heads with me? If you're here today, the first step is to repent and receive Jesus as your Savior. And if you're here today and you would say, pray for me, Pastor Maria, I want to repent of my sins. I want to be forgiven of my sins, and I want to have a relationship with God. I want to be saved. I want to be born again and made spiritually alive by the Holy Spirit. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up and you can put it right back down. Pray for me, Pastor Maria. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. Maybe you want to come back to Jesus. Maybe you served him some time ago and you drifted away and you need to come back. Hallelujah. Just give a moment for everyone. Praise the Lord. I don't see any hands, so we rejoice that everybody here is saved. But we need to get busy bringing more people who don't know Jesus so that they can hear the good news. Amen. But for those of us who have already received Christ, will you receive God's promise for the Holy Spirit to come upon you with power? And will you surrender like Mary and say, God, I'm your servant. I surrender to your will. Do what you desire to do in me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Come upon me with power so that I can live the way you want me to live and do what you're calling me to do. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, or maybe you need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you just to make your way to the altar. Would you just come up to this altar for a few minutes?
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.